From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled Give and Forgive, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Unfailing Watch. The text is Psalm 121 and verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Jehovah is the keeper of Israel. No form of unconsciousness ever steals over him, neither the deeper slumber nor the slighter sleep. He never fails to watch the house and the heart of his people. This is a sufficient reason for our resting in perfect peace. Alexander said that he slept because his friend Parmenio watched. Much more may we sleep because our God is our guard. Behold is here set up to call our attention to the cheering truth. Israel, when he had a stone for his pillow, fell asleep. But his God was awake and came in vision to his servant. When we lie defenseless, Jehovah himself will cover our head. The Lord keeps his people as a rich man keeps his treasure, as a captain keeps a city with a garrison, as a sentry keeps watch over his sovereign. None can harm those who are in such keeping. Let me put my soul into his dear hands. He never forgets us, never ceases actively to care for us, never finds himself unable to preserve us. O my Lord, keep me, lest I wander and fall and perish. Keep me, that I may keep thy commandments. By thine unslumbering care, prevent my sleeping like the sluggard, and perishing like those who sleep the sleep of death. How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Dr. Cairns has been calling attention to the connection between Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread and the next phrase, Forgive Us Our Debts. There are four lessons that the Lord Jesus would teach us by this connection. As we've already seen, unconfessed sin in a believer's life will hinder his praying. The second lesson is that by joining these two petitions, the Lord Jesus is showing that we are unworthy to receive the least of God's blessings, that His mercy is magnified in giving us that to which we have no right at all. In the third lesson, we'll see that without God's pardon, temporal blessings do us little good. For a person to enjoy success and prosperity, to have a fine house and abundance of provisions, and yet end up in hell, is the greatest tragedy that can befall him. Finally, the joining of the two petitions for food and forgiveness demonstrates to us that God gives freely and forgives equally freely. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, Give and Forgive.
Life is not a big house or a big car or a private plane or membership in an exclusive club or body. Life is not even a great job and great acclaim or great fame or even great health. These things may have a place in life, but they are not life. A man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of things he has in his possession. That's what the rich fool mistakenly believed. And so when he looked at all the things, he said, what will I do? I have so much harvest, I can't put it all away. Not a thought that I'll give to the poor. There were many of them around. There are in that area to this day poverty that would break your heart. He never had a broken heart for that. Never thought of a word of thanks to the one who gave it. Never a thought about the spiritual needs of his soul. He simply says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down these barns. And I'm going to build bigger. And I'm going then to fill them. And I'll have so much food and so much money for such a long time that I'm going to sit back and I'm going to say, soul, thou hast much goods led up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat and drink. My, he was going to have a wonderful time. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? I want to tell you, when that man came to die, he left that all behind him. You've heard me say many a time of the conversation, so often repeated, but my, so true. And it has happened again and again. When the rich man died, two friends standing looking at his coffin said, I wonder how much he left. And the other fellow said, he left everything. That's the truth. He left everything. Proverbs 11:4 says that riches profit not in the day of wrath. The 36th chapter of Job tells us in verse 18, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. These things don't impress God. As Zephaniah tells us in chapter 1:18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. You see, my friend, these things that we all tend to think of as so essential for life, Jesus says, yes, you may pray for the good things of life. You may pray for the necessities of life. But never forget the greater need is the need of the soul. You need God's pardon, because without God's pardon, all these blessings will simply be like giving a big dinner to a man ready for execution. But there's one final reason he brings them together with this I'm through. He brings these two petitions together to give us encouragement that as God gives so freely, he will forgive equally freely. He who feeds us will forgive us. He waits to be gracious, and pardon. You know the very keynote of the gospel? This is the meaning of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the message that transformed the world from a world ridden by superstitious heathen priestcraft into a place where there was light and life. Acts 13:38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." That's the message. Everyone with a burden of sin and guilt may apply for pardon, and as soon as they apply for pardon, they receive it. Do you remember the man who was sick of the palsy? That means he was paralytic. He was totally a paralyzed man. Something, you get the idea of what we would today call a quadriplegic. Perhaps not from the same reason, but you get the picture of somebody completely physically helpless. Four friends heard that Jesus was in a house in Capernaum, and they put him on a litter and they carried him there, and they got to the place to find it overrun with people. There was no way they could get in through the door. And so they took themselves around another way. They climbed up onto the roof. And the roof, of course, is a flat roof. And they pulled away the tiles. And they made a gaping hole in the roof. Until they then let down the litter into the room. I have no doubt that the Savior looked up and saw them come down. What did he do? He said to that man who was on that bed as the direct result of sin, he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." This is the God of heaven. This, my friend, is the one by whom God will judge all men. This is the one who marks the difference between going to heaven and going to hell. And he looked at that sinner who was getting what his own sins had brought upon him. And he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And in the forgiveness of sins, he raised him from that bed. That's God's grace. He loves to give, but my, he loves to forgive. Think of what that means to every believer, every backslider, every sinner. Believer this morning, through him, through faith in his name, Acts 13:39, we have been justified from all things. Your past is under the blood, forgiven. The righteousness of Christ is put to your account. You stand complete in Christ for time and for eternity. In him, says Ephesians 1:7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And now, as Christians, even when we feel our God, the merits of Christ are still put to our account. And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ keeps continually cleansing us from all sin. In other words, God keeps applying the merit of the blood to all his believing people. Oh, he's a forgiving God. And if you're a Christian, you say, "But preacher, I, like Peter, have followed afar off. I've wandered far away. My heart has become cold. My testimony has been ruined. I've brought dishonor in the name of my Savior. And today I feel even unworthy to come before His throne to pray. Remember, Jesus said, when you pray, say, give us not only our daily bread, but forgive us our debts. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There's room at the cross for every backslider. What about those who have never known Christ? I've been with people. I think of an old man in a hospital in Northern Ireland who lived his life in ignorance of the gospel. Oh, he was a church member, but he may as well have been a member of any club because his ministry was an ungodly, Christless man who had no idea of the gospel, didn't believe the gospel, just was a feel good, do your best, do the best you can sort of religion. No idea of sin and salvation. This man grew up and went on. And when some of his family came to Christ, he really didn't want to know anything about it. He wanted nothing to do with these bigoted free Presbyterians. His Presbyterian minister had been to college. And of course, you could never go to hell from college, could you? I only got to meet him when he was an old man. By this time, God was beginning to work a wee bit of sense into his head. As I opened the scriptures with him and spoke to him, he saw how great a sinner he was. But then he saw how willing our God is to forgive. That day, standing by his bedside, I had the great privilege of leading that old man to Christ. For the rest of his life, a brief span, but nonetheless a very important span, he lived with the testimony God's forgiveness. We were singing that hymn that, well, I said we were murdering it, we were fighting it. Based in Isaiah 1, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And as one old preacher said, there's not only cleansing here, there's removal. While it's on the sheep's back, wool is not wool. Wool is fleece. It only gets to be wool when it's taken off. I don't know how much of that Isaiah thought about, but I must say when I heard the preacher say that, my heart said, amen, I believe it. Not only will He make your heart clean, but He'll wipe away the sin. He'll take it away forever. Give and forgive. Jesus brings them both together for very good reason. If I may adapt the words of the marriage ceremony, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Make this your prayer. Make this your prayer. And enter into the joy of God's pardon. Thank you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.